next speaker is Jonathan Godet. He's going to be talking about germanium titanate pyrochlorates.
That's a long title.
Yeah.
Okay. So, hi, everyone. I'm Jonathan Godet, working under the supervision of Professor Bruce Gollin at McMaster University. So today I will show you some of our recent neutron scattering work that has been performed at NIST, Center for Neutron Research, in collaboration with Helena Alas and Nick Butch. This experiment was done on a single crystal of pyrochlor erbium titanate that has been ground by Jacques Thibault and Hannah Debowska from the Brockhaus Institute for Material Research, also in Amherst. The big message of my talk is that once you apply a very weak magnetic field on this erbium titanate along different crystallographic directions, you end up with a Zeeman term that can be mapped out using a conventional analog. Everyone should be able to really understand that, as everyone is able to read conventional, hopefully, till these days. Okay. So first of all, what is the pyrochlor structure? So here, shown on the left, consists of a cubic structure made with the basis of two interpenetrating lattice of corner-sharing tetrahedra, shown here in blue and red. It is this tetrahedra motif that is at the heart of the scientific interest, at least for the magnetism, frustrated magnetism community, because it is at the heart of the magnetic frustration that is the key ingredient to lead to new kind of exotic magnetic states, spin ice, spin liquid, magnetic fermentation. Okay? But today, I really fix on one example, which is erbium titanate. So you can take the blue sublattice and decorate it with the erbium 3+ atoms, which are magnetic, and also decorating the B side, so the red sublattice, with titanium 4+, which is not magnetic. Okay, so the only magnetism originates from the erbium. And what you end up, once you do so, you end up with an antiferromagnet. So you know that from magnetic susceptibility data that can be, and you can extract negative Curie-Weiss of about minus 20 Kelvin. And once you look at the specific heat measurement, so here I show the specific heat function, there is a clear sharp anomaly around 1.2 Kelvin, which is indicative of a magnetic long range order. So it's not a spin liquid, it's really an ordered antiferromagnet. So one can do powder neutron diffraction experiment to resolve what is the magnetic structure of such antiferromagnet. And what you will find is that erbium titanate ordered into a K equals zero a gamma 5 magnetic structure. So this is just a technical term to show that the erbium, the erbium spins of such a structure can only point perpendicular to the local 111 axis. The local 111 axis is the axis that connects the center of one erbium atom to the center of the trade. Okay? And in such a compound, the spins can only point in a plane that is perpendicular to this local one. And so you have two examples of such a structure that is comprising gamma 5. So of course, if someone needs to define the local orientation of each erbium atoms, you need, of course, two basis vectors to produce a circle. And so one can define the local x-axis in a specific way that you are along the twofold reflection, reflection symmetry of the local axis. And of course, this has to be perpendicular. And the linear combination of those two basis vectors will generate all the gamma 5. Okay? So if, for example, each of my atoms are pointing along the x-axis, I propagate this local orientation to all my erbium spin and my pyrochlor structure, I end up with this site. So I will define my local x-axis site back. And again, if I do the same for the local y-axis, I end up with which is defined as the site. And So they are the same structure. They're the same manifold, but they are obviously different. But the same, the only difference is that this guy is non-coplanar, and this guy is coplanar. Okay. And so to explain a little bit better than what I said in words, we can visualize. So that's a credit of Leg Chernyshev, Jonathan University, that shows an animation that continually spawns the entire gamma 5 manifold. So you currently turn the spins, and all those possibilities continue state. And side to side, we are specific orientation along this manifold. Okay? That this is clear. Now, a conventional neutron powder diffraction cannot resolve the exact orientation of your local. So you need to do polarized experiment, which has been done by Amy Poole and collaborators. And what they found is that actually erbium titanate order into a pure titanate. Okay? So it cannot. So the angle cannot point anywhere on XY local plane, has to point along the titanate. And because of free-fall rotation, yeah, as well as a time reversal symmetry, there's actually six of those states that are also same symmetry, basically. And what you find is that erbium titanate order into an equipotential distribution of those six states. And if we had to order instead of a titanate, if we had another gamma 5 magnet that will order into a titanate state, you will end up again six states, but they will rotate it by 30. Okay? And it is this full Psi 2 and Psi 2 manifold that are making the 12-hour clock that I was talking about. So each angle in this clock will represent one state. And when you apply a different magnetic field, you will end up selecting different angle. With so we call this Zeeman clock. I didn't call it this way. It's theoretical. Okay. But before going into the detail of all the Zeeman term written in function of different field direction, we can pass a little bit of time looking at the theoretical model that can explain light. So one can be interested to look at the spin Hamiltonian of erbium titanate, and it can be approximated using inelastic neutron scattering. So here I can grossly summarize this kind of work, is that you measure spin wave dispersion, so here and top field data, has been collected in I field, and you can measure spin wave dispersion along a different crystallographic direction. So here we observe three of those directions, and you can compare this to a model, which is a linear spin wave theory calculation using an anisotropic Hamilton. Okay, and from fitting your experimental data to the model, you can end up with a real exchange parameter that approximates an Hamiltonian for erbium type. So this is the exchange parameter obtained in this work. And when you look at what is the mean field ground state that is obtained, once you look at the ground state such Hamiltonian, you obtain the right representation manifold. You obtain that erbium should order into a gamma 5 manifold, k equals 0. So this can be manifold. But the problem is that the U1 or the gamma 5 is degenerate. So any states within the gamma 5 manifold is actually the same energy. So there's nothing to break the symmetry between the plates, but to break it. Okay. So one proposal to explain this site selection. Originate those here as order by disorder. So this is a fluctuation-driven long-range order. So consists that here on the left, what we show is that the spin wave energy that are originating from a Psi 2 ground state as compared to a Psi 2. Okay? So the spin wave energy are cost less energy to be produced from a Psi 2 and it is this this effect that once you cross nail temperature, the system will want to order into a plateau ground state because its entropy will get higher because it can fluctuate more easily in the plateau. And thus, it will minimize the free energy by an entropy select instead of energy. So such a ground state selection mechanism is quite rare in nature, and thus was really but the problem is that there's actually second scenario. Those paper here, where so in the theory of previous theory, what they were assuming is that so here, first of all, I showed the crystal electrical field scheme. So you have the ground state crystal field ground state, which is separated by about 9 MeV from the first excited crystal field level. And in the previous theory, they were projecting the system into solely this ground state doublet. But if you look at the effect of bringing such crystal field nearer, if you look at the effect of having such a nearby crystal field, you end up with possible virtual crystal field transition processes that can occur because of multipolar interaction, and that can energetically favor a plateau ground. So you have those two mechanisms, both order by disorder virtual crystal field that can select plateau. And of course, it will be interesting that it is order by disorder, and that's why we first study erbium plateau. But another point that it's interesting, and no matter what is the ground state select, is that erbium titanate is a really rare case of a high discrete symmetry breaking. Okay? So normally, the Z2 discrete symmetry breaking is well known, especially in magnetism, from, for example, anti-romagnetic Ising system. So it has been well studied, and so well studied in magnetism that it has been the model for Z2 discrete symmetry breaking has been even used by different branch of physics. And since having such a higher than Z2 discrete symmetry breaking is quite rare in nature, we can be interested in just looking at the general properties of such magnets and how they will react from a magnetic field for the same reason than you do for Z2. So that was the kind of motivation of those guys that did theory. And but before going into the details of the theoretical prediction and results of such field behavior, I just want to show here some experimental data showing the magnetization and function of magnetic field in erbium titanate below the 1.2 Kelvin along three field directions, so the 111, the 110, the 100. And as you can see, that for the all three field direction, you have a kink, a clear kink around 1.5, 1.7 Tesla, which has been well studied and well characterized. And it originates from transition towards a field polarized state. So what happens is that the spins are constrained at zero Tesla along solely along the equilocal plane now will continuously tilt up field polarized. But here in this work, we're not interested in what's going on here, and neither at high field. We're really interested in what's going on at very, very well below this field polar. So come back to the theoretical result. So in zero field, you can imagine having an endotherm that goes plus 6 theta that can originate from order by disorder or virtual crystal field. It doesn't matter. So for erbium titanate, the sign of A6 will be positive and will thus select 6 plateau state along your clock. And once you introduce a 110 field, you end up with a Zeeman term that go into a H square and plus 2 theta and will thus minimize plateau state are at 0 and 180. But as opposed for a 0-1 field, you also end up with the h-square term, but that goes into custom. and that will favor states that are at 90 and 270 degrees within your clock. Okay? And these are belong to the site. So what will happen if you put a magnetic field, you will end up originating from this zero Tesla, such a state in a 110 field, and to such a state for O. So we can probe the thing using a neutron scattering. So here on the left, I show the magnetic contribution to the Bragg scattering at 220 position. So 220 is one of the most intense magnetic peaks within the gamma 5 manifold. What you see is that if you plot its intensity in function of xy local plane, so this here, starting here, you see that you have a sine 2 and where with the intensity of the red dot first, the blue dot here. And what's very useful by looking at this in function of magnetic field is that the angle that are favorized to a 110 field are the one that maximize the 220. And the states that are favor the 001 field are the one that completely suppress. Thus, by measuring the 220 Bragg peak in function of field, you have a very good contrast between what's going on in a 110 field and what's going on in a O. That's why we look at Bragg. So again, as I said, for a 110 field, you select those two states. But since at zero Tesla, you will end up by an probable distribution of those six red dots, the intensity should actually increase as you apply by factor. Okay? So this is, again, very easy to measure by neutron scattering. So what we did is we lined up our detector on the 220 intensity. So this is represented. This is the integration of practical intensity that we plane in field. And we just, and using neutron, and we just sweep the field. And what we see is that the intensity do, as predicted, to get a twofold increase as soon as the field is up. So the lowest value here is 0.5. And what we observe afterwards is a smooth decrease that of the 220 intensity that dies off around 1.5. So this smooth decrease is, again, related to the transition towards the field. So because we observe this twofold increase, our data is very good agreement with prediction that serves the twofold clock term, the 110. Now for 001 field, the situation is, again, we favor pi over 2 into pi over 2 state. But since at zero Tesla, the manifold that minimize the order by disorder or virtual crystal field energy are the pi. The system will not immediately transit towards such state. The best thing they can do is to select those four states because they are the closest. This is the angle that minimizes the Zeeman term. But if you continue to increase the field, what will arrive is a reorientation of your spins until you reach. So again, what we should observe is the intensity at the critical field at which correspond that we are in a pure plot. Again, this is easy to do. We can align on a 2-2 Bragg peak, and we can measure its intensity in the field. What we observe that around 0.2 the intensity comes. So again, this is good agreement. We start from such domain configuration, and we end up with a pure flight state around 0.2, which corroborates what Mares and his collaborator were predicting for 0.1 for the Zeeman clock term 0.1. So now for the 111 field, the prediction is a little bit more complicated because there's more than one term, one more than one Zeeman term that is merged. So here in the middle, you again have the classic theta term that is there for the ground state selection at zero field. And that will, again, select the six type state. But what you have here is a positive classic theta term as well that go into an H square that will then select six type state. And you also have a second Zeeman term that goes H that goes into cos theta term. That will thus be minimized for such state or those threefold class in a Zeeman. So of course, since they are the domain transition that will occur in a 111 field will depend on what are the value of A6, A6, A3. So it will depend on the particular magnet that you're probing, but you can approximate what will be the main transition occurring in a 111 field for erbium titanate using its fitted exchange parameter. And here's the kind of a prediction is that from as soon as you apply field from zero, you should select those three flight states. Okay? And around 0.15, each of those three states should split up by an angle where the effective angle are not a pure flight, neither a pure flight tree, but it's between. And this splitting should go back to zero around to retrieve back a state where the domain are made of. Okay? So the trick, again, to probe these domain transition will be to measure the 2-2-0 intensity in field, which is shown here on the right. Again, showing the intensity in field, 111. And the prediction was that at very low field, you should observe transition from 6 side to domain. And if you look at the predicted gain or decrease of intensity, it should actually has no effect on the. And this is what we observe, is that from 0 to around 15.2, there's almost no increase in either decrease. But almost there is. So this is good agreement that at very low field, you're dominated by such field. But what we observe, again, is that around 0.2. You have this rise of intensity that saturates around 4. And since those field values correspond quite good with the approximation of the rotated state that I was showing you, you can ask yourself, is this 2-2-0 intensity, increase of intensity corresponding to this? So you can do the calculation. So you can split these three states by an equal amount. And what you found is that the decrease that you obtain from those domains are actually perfectly compensated by the increase in the 2-2-0 intensity. So if this was the real state at those fields, the real kind of shape of your 2-2-0 should be flat. And the only field dependence that you observe is again the field. Thus, for a 111 field, the situation or the prediction of Mario Zani and collaborators is not as clear. And we think, or at least our idea is that in the theory of Mario Zani and collaborators, they only take into account Zeeman energy that are within a Zeeman coupling that are within the XY plane. But as soon as you increase the field, so around those, we know that the tilting away from the XY plane is become non-negligible. And it's possible that there is a Zeeman coupling along that out-of-plane contribution that should contribute, perhaps, to select different domains than previous charge by just the Zeeman coupling in the. So that's my conclusion slide. Is very pictorial. Again, for a 110 and a 01 field, we serve emergence of twofold clock term, but that favors states that are 90 degrees apart. And for a 1-1-1 field, we kind of our data is consistent with the emergent threefold clock term, perhaps a sixfold clock term, but the details of the other term are unknown.
Questions?
So for a ZN clock model, am I right in saying that there's like a critical N at which the behavior of the transition switches from first order to second order?
So
for a ZN clock model, so for a clock. So there's like a critical N at which the transition changes from first order behavior to second order behavior. Is that correct? Or? The temperature driven transition, yeah. Okay. So it's not just that there's one N at which it changes.
So for the 1-1-1 case, are there any issues with getting the field perfectly on 1-1-1 and maybe?
So we know from our configuration, NERCON configuration, so we know that we have bank detector that has finite dimension scattering planes. So we know that our alignment cannot be like as between like plus minus. If you do the math, you know that your bracket is in the middle of your detector, and if you were offset, then it can be above. Since we know the dimension of the detector, we can kind of get at least just minimum. We're probably better. We are.
Additional question? Okay, I've got one question. So for the field along the 001 direction, you've shown evidence for a disappearance of the psi 2 term. Can you measure for the observation of the psi 3 term?
You mean if we had a psi 3 ground?
Yeah.
So I think that will be the what will happen is that 01 will only, there will be no spin reorientation in an 01 field. You will just end up selecting those two states within your six state manifold. But if you apply a 1-1-0 field into a flight ground state, then now you will have a spin reorient. Because you're in zero Tesla, you're not. Like, why?
Yeah, right. So you've got a negative result, null result. You've got a result showing that the site 2 disappears. You don't necessarily have a peak.
Oh, I see.
Right. So do you observe
I mean,
the onset
can you
of a
use
new
those
bright green?
Yeah. Prove that it's a flight. Oh.
Yeah.
So, but yes, but you need to do polarize. So in a.
Okay.
Oh. Yes, that will have different field.
Okay. All right, but you didn't do that. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay, so let's thank Jonathan one more.